Avatar Fan Fiction Lesson by Jarathai. Disclaimer: Avatar, its characters, and all creative rights and copyrights belong to James Cameron and 20th Century Fox. The author of this fan fiction work does not profit from it in any way. Moat was making her daily rounds around New Hometree. She'd looked in on the child watchers and their charges, the weavers, and the leather workers. The morning's hunter meeting allowed her to check in with Jake, Neytiri, the hunters, and the senior cooks all at once. She'd just finished speaking with the weapon makers and was headed for the clay workers when she heard a snap followed by a cry of pain. A quick investigation revealed a young girl working alone with an archery target. The child was holding her left forearm. She obviously hadn't been holding the bow correctly, and the released bowstring had raised a nasty wheel along the improperly positioned arm. The offending weapon lay on the ground at the girl's feet, and an arrow that was nowhere near the target was sticking up in the ground pathetically. The youngster's tears seemed a bit out of proportion to a simple bad shot, though. Moat's intuition told her strongly that something more than the obvious was going on. She walked up to the child and knelt, extending her hands for the wounded arm and speaking kindly. "Here, let me see. A bowstring snap can be very painful." The girl nodded and let the sahik inspect the injury. Moat frowned when she got a good look at the child's arm, not because of the string injury that had just occurred, but because she could see the marks of many similar old-healed welts. "Little one, who is your hunter teacher? Why does he not have you wearing an arm guard? Have they not taught you how to hold a bow properly?" Fresh tears poured down the youngster's face, and she pulled her arm out of the sahik's grasp to hide it behind her back. She responded in a shamed voice, "They said I do not have hunter's gift, that I should find something else to do. But mother said I had no weaving gift either. Irei says that if I cannot hunt, then I am useless to the clan, and I should just walk away into the jungle and not be a burden to everyone." She burst into tears. The sahik's eyes went flat and hard for a moment. She knew Irei, a boastful and arrogant young man, overly impressed with himself. Every handful of years or so, one such as Irei would provide her with the opportunity to teach a very important lesson. It appeared that the lesson had come due again, but she put that aside for the nonce. She closed her eyes for a moment, the better to listen for Awa's voice, and then smiled. "What is your name, child?" "Tally," the girl almost whispered. Moat stood and put an arm around the little one's shoulders comfortingly. "That bow snap must be very painful. I know something that can help. Come with me." To Tally's surprise, the sahik led her into the jungle, not back to New Hometree. It made her very nervous. "Sahik, I am not allowed to go far from the tree." The elder woman patted her reassuringly. "It is all right. We are not going very far. We will stay inside the scout's perimeter. In fact, there." She pointed at something on the ground. "Come see this, but do not touch it yet." Moat picked up a dead twig from the ground and used it to flip over a leaf attached to a small, fuzzy shrub. "Do you see the purple spots on the underside of this leaf?" Tally peered closely and then nodded. "They look like insect tracks." The sahik instructed, "Smell the plant, but be very careful not to touch it with your nose." The girl did so. Moat smiled when the young one's nose wrinkled in distaste. "It doesn't smell very good," the little one complained. "But would you recognize the plant if you smelled it again?" the elder asked, and smiled again when Tally nodded vehemently. "Good. Now take this." She picked a smooth leaf off of a different plant after thanking it for the gift and handed it to the girl. "Use this to protect your fingers. Thank the fuzzy plant for its gift to you and pick a leaf off of it." The girl did so, and Moat had to stifle a grin. Her young charge held the thing at arm's length as if it were a venomous insect. "Place the fuzzy leaf against the bow snap on your arm," she instructed. Tally did so very gingerly, and in a moment her eyes went wide. "It stopped hurting!" The sahik nodded. "Hold it for a few moments to each part of your arm that hurts." The girl did so, becoming more and more amazed as the anesthetic took immediate effect. She looked up at the elder in awe as soon as the entire wound had been numbed. "Now," Moat said briskly, "it is time for you to make yourself useful to the clan. Carefully put the leaf down where you will not accidentally touch it, and use your holding leaf to gently pull the fuzzy plant from the ground." Tally did as instructed, being careful to thank the plant before she cautiously pulled it up, revealing a fat root. The sahik stood and helped her young charge up. "Be careful not to let it touch you, and we will take it back to New Home Tree." They walked back home carefully. Moat had Tally wash the root in the river as they passed. She led the girl straight to the healer's enclave. Several injured Omadakaya rested there. When one of the healers saw them and would have come over, the sahik made a small hand gesture indicating that they were to be left alone. Moat led the girl to one of several flat stones and had her lay the root down on it. She handed Tally a rounded rock. "Very carefully press this rock against the root until the juice inside it is squeezed out. Don't touch the juice." The child did so until the flat rock was wet with the root juice. "Now," the sahik instructed, "take this bandage." She handed Tally a long strip of cloth that the girl recognized as a product of the young weaver apprentice's work. "Hold it by the ends and soak up the juice with the middle part of the cloth." She guided the girl until the center portion of the bandage was quite wet. "Good. Now carefully bring it over here." The two of them walked over to one of the injured Omadakaya, who was clearly in a great deal of pain. Ugly, raw, burned flesh ran down the outside of his lower leg, clearly an injury taken in the war. The older woman said, "Very gently lay the wet part of the bandage on the burn." The girl timidly did as instructed, and was astonished when the warrior went nearly limp with relief. Tears came to his eyes. Thank you, little one." Tally's eyes went big and round. "What happened?" Healer Alai came forward at Moat's surreptitious gesture. "What happened, little one, is that you gave a man who is in great pain one of the best painkillers that Ewa has given to the Na'vi," she said with approval. "The juice from the ivo root will keep his wound clean and help it to heal, as well as allow him to rest without pain for a long time. You have made a very big difference to him today." The girl looked at the warrior in astonishment and saw that the man's eyes were already starting to close. Alai smiled. "And the sahik has made a big difference to the clan as well, bringing us a new healer apprentice." Tally almost sat down in startlement. "Healer apprentice? Me?" The sahik patted the girl's shoulder and smiled down at the amazed girl. "You. Alai and her healers know much about many more plants than just ivo, and they will gladly teach you all they know, if you would like." The girl looked with awe at the now sleeping warrior and said softly, "Oh, yes, yes, please." Moat stood. "Then I will leave you to get acquainted with your new apprentice, Alai." Then her eyes went flinty for just a moment. "And I have a lesson to prepare." At the evening meal that night, the sahik stood and walked out to the center of the gathering circle. Into the silence, she spoke a single word, "Ire." A young man jumped up from the crowd and almost tripped in his haste to obey the summons. Moat looked him straight in the eye when he stood before her. "I understand that you show promise in the hunter's gifts." Iray was relieved and nodded. She held out her hand. "Give me your bow." He was puzzled, but handed it over as ordered. The sahik inspected the weapon carefully. "This is fine work. Did you make it?" Iray shook his head. "No, one of the weapon makers did." To everyone's shock, Moat casually threw the bow backwards over her shoulders. It bounced as it fell, and a couple of Omadakaya hastily scrambled out of its way. She held out her hand again. "Your knife." Iray covered his shock by hastily removing his knife harness and handing it to her. Moat again inspected the weapon. "Did you make this?" Iray answered, "No, sahik." The knife followed the bow over Moat's shoulder. Iray's eyes bugged out when her hand came out again. He wasn't wearing anything else. Unless she couldn't mean. Moat's hand curled and went flat again in an unmistakable gesture. Iray's face flushed in mortification, but his hands obediently went to his hip and he handed over the last thing he was wearing. Tittering arose from the crowd. The Sahik dropped the garment behind her and announced, "For the next 3 days, Iray is to touch nothing that he has not made with his own hands or that a fellow hunter has not given him. He will eat and drink what he catches himself, wear what he makes himself. No Omotakaya who is not a hunter is to assist him in any way." Of course, no hunter was about to assist Iray either. No one in their right mind got between the Sahik and a lesson. Moat turned and left the young man standing in the middle of the gathering circle, from which he hastily exited. "No doubt to go find weaver's grass and some very large leaves," she thought to herself with amusement. 3 days later, a very hangdog Iray stood before her in the gathering circle once again, trying very hard not to lose his leaves. Moat had surreptitiously followed the youngster's misadventures very carefully. When he had tried to enter his family's sleeping space, his father, at her instigation, had asked whether Iray had woven the family hammock all by himself. The boy had sighed and wound up spending 3 very uncomfortable nights sleeping on bare branches. The young hunter had found game very hard to catch without knife or bow, and the other hunters all seemed to be mysteriously busy elsewhere. Mushrooms and tailu grubs were always available, but those were about the only things he could readily identify as edible. His one attempt at fire-making had resulted in the waste of nearly half a day, pounded and burned fingers and mushrooms so badly burned that he'd had to gather more to start over, only to find that his fire had died while he'd been gone. Raw, live tailu grubs were definitely not one of his favorite meals. So it was a very chastened young man who stood before the Sahik. Moat gestured, and a man came forward. "I work leather for the clan," he announced, and handed Iray a loincloth cord. The man turned and left, and the Sahik gestured again. A woman came forward with a simple length of plain cloth. "I weave cloth for the clan," she said, handing him the loincloth fabric. Iray mumbled a thanks as the woman turned and left and couldn't get the loincloth on fast enough to the titters of the audience. They were enjoying this immensely. A woman walked forward at the Sahik's direction. "I am a knife maker for the clan," she stated, and handed Iray back his knife. Rely came forward and said in a stern voice, "I am a bow maker for the clan," and gave the young man's bow back to him before retreating to his place. Moat gestured again, and 3 women came forward. "I gather food plants for the clan," said the first. "I cook the food that the hunters and gatherers give to the clan," said the second, who was holding a pot of stew. The third woman held a clay bowl before the other two. The first woman filled it from the pot. "I make things of clay for the clan," she stated, and handed Iray the filled bowl. Iray took the bowl in his hands and mumbled thanks, his face flushed with shame. The Sahik addressed the crowd. "Every Navi is gifted by Ewa with an ability that contributes to the well-being of the entire clan. All Navi can hunt at need, but allowing those whom Ewa has blessed with the hunter's gift to do the hunting frees those who are not so gifted to perform their own special ability for the benefit of all of us. Gifts are gifts. All are sent by Ewa, and all are of equal value. One gift cannot stand by itself alone. Only when all gifts are combined together do we all prosper under her care." She looked sternly at the chagrined hunter. "The next time you are tempted to say that someone is of no use to the clan, I would suggest you reconsider those words very carefully." Moat looked deliberately to the side, drawing Iray's attention to where a very happy Tally, proudly wearing an apprentice necklace, sat with the healers. The Sahik looked on with satisfaction as the realization that he had brought this entirely on himself crashed down over the young man's face. Lesson learned.